why do you want to learn a new language? Where would you use it and how would it come in handy? This is what I'm asking myself every single day. Even if I'm not planning on going on a trip where I need to use a new language, I'm just like, my brain needs to stay alive. My brain needs to stay active. And there's only so many crossword puzzles I can do in 1 week. And that's why I just feel like putting my mind to the test would just be using Rosetta Stone to improve my language skills.
And I'm always like idealizing, oh, I want to learn Francais, so when I go to Francais, I can speak French with the person in
You go
France.
To Quebec.
But really, I'm speaking on a like dream level, which is also great. Use Rosetta Stone to learn the language of a place you're dreaming of visiting. But also, practically, it makes more sense for me to learn Spanish. And if I'm going to learn Spanish, I'm going to do it on Rosetta Stone.
That's amazing.
They've been the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users, and they have 25 languages offered. You have fast language acquisition because they immerse you in the language. There aren't English translations, so you really learn to speak, you listen, you think in the language with Rosetta Stone, and it has an intuitive process, so you pick up the language naturally. First words, then phrases, then sentences, which means it's designed for long-term retention. And the app has a true accent feature that gives you feedback on your pronunciation, like having a personal trainer for your accent. It's very helpful, okay?
That was good. That was good.
Thank you.
It's convenient. There's an amazing value. You can get a lifetime membership and just have every single language, all 25 languages you can have for your lifetime, and you can just work through them as long as you're alive. That's kind of an iconic goal to have. So don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Who Weekly listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/who. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/who today.
You will drain it. They want to know.
To be famous.
Welcome to Who Weekly, the podcast where you'll learn everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. I'm Bobby Finger.
I'm Lindsay Weber.
And here's a tweet from Variety. Noah Centineo says he's currently reading A Little Life by Hanya Yanagara.
I love that for him.
Did you know that? He's a big reader.
I actually did know he was a big reader because one time during like deep pandemic times when all the celebrities were doing Instagram lives, do you remember that?
Oh, I remember that. I'd like to forget that, but I remember it.
One time, I caught him. I opened up an Instagram live of his that was open to the public, and he was just reading a book. Like, he was just reading a book.
Aloud or quietly?
No, just to himself, quietly.
It was just a video of him quietly reading a book? Do you remember what book it was?
No.
Was it the morning? Was it the evening? Do you remember?
No, I blocked out everything else. Oh, you remember, I'm sorry, you remember day, the time of day during that period when anything was? The morning, the evening, the afternoon?
He loves recommending books, and I feel like that Variety tweet went viral. But, you know, if you look back, he has a history of recommending books to random followers, recommending books and videos.
Loves to read. Yeah, it went viral like everyone thought he was illiterate, but turns out the man can read.
In a video that I think he made for BuzzFeed, he said that one time he went on a first date and they just read for 3 hours.
That's so him.
That's so Noah.
That's so Noah Centineo.
The W Hotel resident side has a really cool rooftop. Sweet pool, big W. She'd come over, you know, late afternoon, sometime close to sunset or just before. And I said, bring a book. And we traded. I gave her Celestine Prophecy, and she gave me You Are the One by Coop Laxon. And we read for like 3 hours.
The number one thing on Netflix is like a six-year-old Denis Villeneuve movie called Prisoners, which I've seen, and it's good, but it's also absolutely miserable. Like one of the most miserable theatrical experiences of my life. And then like number three is The Recruit, a show I'd never heard of starring Noah Centineo.
Yeah, it's literally a show where for the entire series, he's reading A Little Life live on Instagram. All right. Well, Noah Centineo can read. We've cleared that up. He loves to read. And this is Who Weekly.
And this is Who Weekly. And Austin Butler hosted SNL. And I gotta say, as much as I liked Elvis and I liked Austin Butler as Elvis, I can't do this. I can't. Yeah. I turned on his monologue and I was like, I know he's going to say something sweet about his late mother. I know that we like Austin Butler now, and I know he talked about his voice sounding like Elvis perpetually. I can't listen to him anymore. There's something so disarming about the way that he speaks and presents himself as Austin Butler by way of Elvis.
I do want to address something. There's people out there who say that ever since I played Elvis, my voice has changed. that it got deeper, more Elvis-y. But that's not true. I've always sounded like this, and I can prove it. Here's a clip from an interview I did 10 years ago.
How excited are you to be Sebastian on the Carrie Diaries?
I'm really excited. It's been a great experience so far.
I mean, do you think that he Elvis'd too hard for you and the performance was just that good where now he's forever tainted by being Elvis and you could only see him as that, like, capsule of Elvis?
That might be the case. I wish I were exaggerating.
I think he did too good of a job for you.
Maybe.
I think so.
I think that could be it.
What's going to happen when you see him in Dune?
It's going to be tough because I do like the Dune movie, the first one. And so I'm very excited to see the new Dune, but I'm a little worried that Austin Butler is going to distract me.
Yeah, I mean, he's certainly still a who. That's kind of why we're discussing him. So I do think that none of this is elevating to the point yet where I feel like he is theming.
Mm-mm.
To be clear.
Maybe if he wins an Oscar or if he gets nominated for an Oscar, we're getting closer. But he still very much feels like a who.
I don't know if the Oscar can even do it, but, you know, he is Elvis.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out. Because
the Not Hot and Hot Chainsmoker appeared at a Costco in must have been Los Angeles, promoting their new alcohol that we've talked about, Haha Tequila, at an in-store signing. So they signed bottles. So they stood there awkwardly in Costco name tags, hawking their tequila brand. As Timmy found out, which I couldn't find this anywhere, but good on him, he found out that regularly those bottles are $24.99 at Costco. But during the signing, they were only $19.99.
That's a steal.
I don't know where he found this information, but Timmy found the information.
Can I just go buy the tequila and not actually have to speak to the chain smokers? Like, that to me would be the barrier of entry. I'd be like,
that would be so funny if you just walked past them.
That the tequila's on sale today, but I just don't want to discuss that with the chain smokers, you know? I don't want to make small talk with a chain smoker.
Do you want your bottle signed? No.
I do think it's kind of a cute thing to randomly be at a Costco because we're like being rude when it's the chain smokers, but it also Bryan Cranston and what's his face went, Aaron whatever. Paul. And like, mm-hmm. That's charming. You know what I mean? Like that's kind of funny to me.
Everyone I think knows at a fundamental level that like celebrity alcohol brands, they're not really doing anything. They're not growing the agave. They're not putting it into the bottles. But like, this is the work that they can do. So when you see them doing the work, it's nice. It's like, okay, at least you're doing something. Because I know otherwise, all you would have done is slapped your name on it.
Well, that is their only job in terms of this product is selling
right.
It, is marketing. So like, they will argue that they were involved in any creative process. They will argue that they were involved in picking out, I don't know, whatever, the taste. Oh, can you make it like this? Oh, can you make it like this? But the truth really is that like what they're involved with is liking the product eventually or liking a version of the product. Like, oh, I like tequila. Oh, I like rum. Oh, I like whatever. And then selling it so they can make money off of the brand name.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I like seeing them put in the work. Like, I like seeing Vanessa Hudgens at a grocery store selling the cactus water, even though she didn't have any part in growing the cactus or turning the cactus into water, you know?
Mm-hmm.
50 Cent went to a Hy-Vee in the Midwest, and he signed bottles of his whatever it was, cognac.
God bless. Do what you can to sell your booze.
I know that everyone's talking about Avatar: The Way of Water. I know that you saw it already. You had a tough experience in those moving chairs. But another movie that everyone's talking about that I didn't realize everyone was talking about is Puss in Boots: The Last Wish, which I didn't even know existed until last week. And I didn't know that it was the third in the series. I didn't know that the critics loved it. I didn't know that Salma Hayek and Antonio Banderas were still in these movies.
Is this your headline? Maybe we can talk about like the Puss in Boots sequel, or is this Timmy?
Oh, no, I wrote that.
Oh, okay.
Well, I've been wanting to talk about Harvey Guillen because he's the star of What We Do in the Shadows for a while. But
I know, which I
like,
don't watch, so I really can't contribute to this, to be honest with you.
You're familiar with the show, though. He's the human in the show. So they're all vampires, and he's like, he's the human.
Wait, he's the human? He's not a cat? Oh, sorry, that's Puss in Boots. He is a cat in Puss in Boots.
I think he's a dog in Puss in Boots, actually.
No, he's a cat. He's a dog.
He's a dog.
He's a cat.
He's a therapy dog to Puss in Boots. I don't know where this is from, but this paragraph calls him the Tritagonist and puts in Puss in Boots the last wish. First of all, protagonist them, Tritagonist too, for sure. Love I never see the word Tritagonist.
I love it. So you're telling me that this guy, Harvey, is an actor and he's Buzzy because he's on What We Do in the Shadows.
Yes, and he's the
and
human.
And he's gay.
And he's gay.
Uh-huh. And he is also in the only movie to go up against Avatar that even dares to go up against
that even
Avatar,
dares. Which, counter-programming.
I wish I could have seen another movie. I wish I could have seen Puss in Boots. I should have gone to see Puss in Boots instead. And he plays a dog.
He plays a dog. He plays a therapy dog. Two Puss in Boots, still played by Antonio Banderas. I don't know who Salma Hayek plays in this movie, but she's in it because they're getting all of the Emmy. Like, they're doing all these red carpet events looking incredibly sexy, but it's for Puss in Boots 3, The Last Wish.
Well, they have to. Who else is going to
sell Again,
they're
Puss putting
in
Boots. The work.
Yeah. No, it's true.
So Harvey Guillen is the star of What We Do in the Shadows. He's been on for 4 seasons.
Yeah. Why do you find him Buzzy? Why do you find this as, tell me.
I mean, first of all, I'm always going to default to being a fan of a new gay actor that I've heard of. And now he's been on a show that I've watched for 4 seasons. But I feel like he's kind of hitting critical mass or something. It now feels like more and more people are watching it and talking about it because it is on FX. It doesn't feel necessarily buzzy, but it feels really popular. And I've been seeing more and more headlines about Harvey, which makes me think more people are watching the show. Also, he just got his first Critics' Choice Awards nomination, which makes him the first queer Latinx person to be nominated for Best Supporting Actor in a Comedy at the Critics' Choice Awards.
Wow.
So he's just getting more attention. Yeah. Also, voice acting stuff I feel is incredibly lucrative. And gives you a lot of attention, kind of more than you'd think.
In a way, but people still don't know what you look like or anything like that, right? It's not like a path to themdom, but you're right. Like, it is a powerful place to be the Tritagonist in Puss in Boots, The Last Wish.
He's the Tritagonist. He's the therapy dog to Puss in Boots.
So that means he's the third protagonist? He's third build.
Yes, third he's build? The third lead vocalist. Mm-hmm. He's the Michelle.
He's the Michelle Williams he's the in Michelle. Puss in Boots. Okay, got
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Thank you
the
for
Michelle.
Putting it in terms I understand.
You're very welcome. I think I know you well enough to know you wouldn't like the show, and I don't even think you should watch it, but he is great on it.
No, I'm not. But I'm like, if he appears in something else, I'm seeing kind of like, you know, he wrote about his coming out story in Esquire. Like, he wrote it, you know, this
first
essay,
person.
Essentially. And yeah. then he was interviewed by Esquire.
And he just got a W Magazine profile as well, which, this is really funny to me. It happens to everyone, even character actors in little FX shows about vampires. Guess what? He's going into the superhero world because he's going to be in a DC Universe movie called Blue Beetle. Never heard of her.
But like, okay? Animated. Animated?
Well, no, that's live action. Then he's going to be in an animated one giving his voice to a Harley Quinn show.
Okay. Okay.
It sort of bums me out that they're, I mean, I'm happy for him. I'm happy for every, you know, working actor who gets the opportunity and paycheck of a lifetime when they step into DC or Marvel. But it's also sort of like the moment you get like a modicum of success, DC and Marvel come knocking at your door. And it must be so hard to say no.
And like literally you cannot say no because then you like buy a house with that money and then you figure out the next step. It seems like staying behind, like doing voice acting and kind of still being on this niche-er show, Harvey might not be so fast. Like, he's up and coming, but like, I don't know how fast he's coming, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't know how fast he's coming.
Sorry.
Anyway, I just think Harvey is the best. And that show has like 4 of the funniest people on television. And he is one of them. And I love it so much. So it's fun to see him everywhere these days. Even if he's a dog.
I am Puss in Boots.
What's a Puss in Boots?
Seriously?
Kitty soft paws.
Kitty soft paws.
Is he deranged?
I've been called dog, bad dog, rat face, butt nugget, for brains.
Yep. Really briefly, before we get to what is absolutely my favorite story of the week, here's a great headline from the Daily Mail. Yes, they're sisters. Gwen Stefani, 53, shares rare picture with her sibling Jill to wish her happy birthday. Colon, quote, love you, sissy.
This gagged me because, you know, we love a rare sibling, like a random sibling, like Giselle's sister, Patricia, you know,
Bunkin,
Patty.
Munchkin, yeah.
Yeah. Patty Boonkin. Patty Boonkin. But just the idea, the Daily Mail, the way that they word this, a rare picture with her sibling is so funny to me. Like, the sibling comes out of hiding is just so good. Like, there she is, like, Jill, her random sister, you know? Like, who knew?
It's very, hi, I'm Gail, you know? Yeah. Hi, I'm Jill.
Hi, I'm Jill. And then the Daily Mail, like, very much being shady as they normally are, said, the two did not look very similar, but it may just have been Gwen Stefani was wearing heavy makeup and her hair dyed blonde, and Jill was makeup-free with dark locks.
It's funny that you cannot win when it comes to resemblance to your siblings. Like, yeah, if you look like your siblings, it's I cannot believe the fact of genetics. And if you don't look like your sibling, it's like, interesting. And then eyes emoji. Nothing but eyes emojis.
It's true. And all the comments are like, well, there's a reason why she just looked like her sister. And her sister looks great. And it's like, okay, everyone relax.
There really was no reason for the Daily Mail to write about this other than point out the physical differences.
Yes, they're sisters. Yes. They're sisters.
They're sisters.
They're sibling, okay. Jill. Okay, thank you, Jill.
Sibling Jill. I have to read this again. The two did not look very similar, but it just may have been that Gwen was wearing heavy makeup with her hair dyed blonde and Jill was makeup free with dark locks.
Mm-hmm. What's the problem?
Having to articulate what a difference is, like what it means to look dissimilar from someone. Mm-hmm. Well, for example, you could be blonde and they could be brunette.
Yes, and that's why they didn't look alike. The funny thing is they kind of do look alike, which is just like, it's more subtle than both women look exactly like Gwen Stefani.
Yeah.
But they do look alike, you know?
They look alike. They have the same nose. They have the same mouth. They have the same little cheek thing. They have the same eyes, you know? Jeans. Punnett Square.
Thank you. I know. That's what you were getting at before when you said that's what the headlines do when they look alike.
They're really sisters underneath it all. That's what I want to say at the end of this. God. This time's been, I want something
more, someone more like me. All right, moving on. I have to say it was what you could call a slow news week. When I was fine-tooth combing the feeds to get some of these stories, I felt like I wasn't going to be able to come up from air. You know, I felt like I was Avatar back in the way of water, Avatar stuck under, stuck somewhere, trying to get out, trying to get air.
One of my favorite things that I found this week was a tweet about Julie Chrisley from Radar. You know, like, they're really slim pickings this week.
That's what I'm saying. So, but I did come across this headline that, you know, intrigued me. And I said, where's this going? And actually, where is she going? Here's the headline. I feel so let down. Catherine Jenkins hits out at British Airways for losing her luggage ahead of performance at the Pope's Christmas concert in Rome. Mm-hmm. Okay. I said, who is that? Why is she going to Rome? How close is she to the Pope? And where the fuck is her luggage?
And is she going to get it in time to perform at the Pope's Christmas concert in Rome? I'm on the edge of my fucking seat.
You bet all the comments for this one were like, do you know there are stores in Rome?
There are famously stores in Rome.
Catherine Jenkins, who is this? This was Daily Mail, so I assumed it was British. Turns out she's a Welsh singer.
She's Welsh.
She's a Welsh singer. She's the most popular, classical singer in the UK? What does that even mean? The biggest selling classical act of the century?
Biggest selling classical singer of the century.
Over what? Over where? For who? For when? I don't trust that.
From Classic FM, it says Catherine Jenkins has officially sold the most classical albums this century. She sold 2.6 million classical albums in the 21st century.
Okay.
She gets it.
Okay. So she's a Welsh singer. She was going to Rome to perform for the Pope. And she tweeted, OMG, at British Airways, I have lost my bags again. I'm supposed to be singing tomorrow for the Pope's Christmas concert in Rome. I feel so let down as I will not be able to perform. Please sort this out. Prayer hands.
Putting prayer hands emoji in your tweet?
After name dropping the Pope?
Babe, call the Pope. You got a direct line. You don't need your prayer hands. Call the Pope.
You want somebody to pray for you and find your luggage? Why don't you call Papa Pio or whatever?
Papa Francesco has whoever you need to pray to on speed dial, okay?
I know. You want a direct line to Jesus? Well, then I guess you should call your friend the Pope. They're buddies.
No, but like, even better than Jesus, if you're the Pope, I bet you can easily talk to a human on a British Airways customer service line.
Oh my God. If you're the Pope, you have like the exact like number of, like, you know the numbers to push to get to talk to somebody immediately, like in the phone tree. As if the Pope has ever picked up a phone in his goddamn life, you know? A phone? The Pope calling customer service? I don't think so.
But here's the thing. She prayed on it. She clearly let the Pope know because the concert happened and she wore the dress that was lost. She got that dress somehow.
The dress was lost.
She said it arrived 20 minutes before the performance, which I'm not sure I believe.
Yeah, and she said the show must go on. The dress is nice. It's red.
Yeah, it's a red dress.
Would I wear red at the Pope's Christmas? Oh, I guess because red is a Christmas color. It just felt like it's a little bit like scandalous, you know?
But also she was in Rome. She was in Roma, and she clearly has a lot of money if she's the number one selling classical music artist of the 21st century. She could have bought a red dress.
The other fun fact about her that cracked me up was that she was apparently, I mean, people can say what they want now that she's dead, but she was the Queen's favorite singer or one of the Queen's favorite singers. Which is like, okay, yeah, so I'm the Queen's favorite podcaster. Like, fact check that, honey. You know, you can't. Mm-hmm. She's dead.
God, she could call the Queen or the Pope.
Yeah, right?
That's power.
She called the Queen or the Pope. Who would you, if your luggage was lost with British Airways, would you call the Queen or the Pope? Who do you think would get it done?
Oh, I'm calling the Queen.
You're calling the Queen.
Well, the British Empire and the Catholic Church famously have strong arms, so to speak, but I think I'm still calling the Queen. I'm more scared of the Queen, actually. Like, if I were a customer service representative, I'd be more afraid of a call by the Queen than a call by the Pope.
Oh, 100%. Because the Pope, I'd be like, okay, sure, all right, whatever. The Queen, I'm like, oh, you're going to kill me. You know? Oh, I'm dead. If I don't get this bag back.
Oh, you're going to steal my land. You know, like, you're going to steal my stuff.
Right. Like, you're going to annex. Like, you're going to take over. So I found these pictures of this woman meeting the Queen. Well, the Daily Mail included them in the story, which was really funny. And they're captioned, Royal Connection. In September, Catherine was selected to record the first version of the new royal anthem, God Save the King, pictured with the Queen in 2005. And this picture is immediately the funniest photo I've ever seen in my life because it's this beautiful woman, blonde woman, who I assume is Catherine, shaking hands with what is definitely the Queen, looking her queenliness. And, you know, there's always like a line of people who are lined up to shake hands with the Queen. She doesn't just shake one hand. She shakes a line of hands or else there's no point of it, you know? And it seems like they're all performers of different sorts because right next to Catherine are lined up, ready to go, the three blue men. Three blue men, like of the blue men group. So in the background of this woman's photo with the Queen, probably like a cherished heirloom, you know, she's the
top tier life moment.
She's one of the Queen's favorite singers. She gets a picture shaking hands with the Queen. And guess what? Who's in the background? Three bald-headed, dome-headed blue men staring into space, waiting to shake. I hope their hands aren't blue because they don't need to get blue on that glove.
How does it work? Are they wet?
They look wet, very wet. I think they're dry, but they look very wet.
If you touch a blue man's head, is it tacky?
That seems like not like a realistic, that seems not a good idea, you know?
Like if the blue men came into my apartment, would their heads be covered in cat hair? You know, like.
Oh my God, ew. Oh my God, ew. I just. Oh.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, no, you just like. If Avatar 4DX doesn't make me throw up, this will. Anyways, I just thought that photo, I mean, we'll share it with you elsewhere. It's a very good photo.
Yeah. Not to be rude, but she kind of has a boring personal life, which I guess isn't that surprising given her genre of music.
Yeah.
Right. But the first line of her personal life section on Wikipedia is really funny. I've never seen this before. Jenkins is a Christian and says that she believes in heaven. Just so you know.
What else is there? What other personal things could there be?
I've never seen someone's belief in heaven listed in their personal life section of Wikipedia. It's also
you know, give me five fun facts about you. Where you're from, you know, your favorite food is. Those are all boring things. Mm-hmm. I want to know, do you believe in heaven? Lead with it so we know where to go, you know?
I know exactly what you mean. Speaking of singers,
we'll go from the Queen's favorite singer to
some queen you know's favorite singers.
Some queen. Did you know I came across this and did a little which actually says everything you need to know about me. Reuben and Clay are reuniting for a tour. Does that mean anything to anyone anymore?
They're playing on my birthday in New York City, but they're also playing on 420 on Long Island, which is hilarious.
You go to both.
I could become a Clay Reuben groupie.
So does Reuben and Clay, do those names mean anything to anyone? Is that too specific? I mean, clearly they're big enough to go on a tour together, but I gotta say these venues, they're not big enough where I'm like, when our powers combine, we can play an arena. It's like, no, when our powers combine, we can still play like a relatively small and, you know.
They can play small venues all over the place, though.
They definitely could. In any town in America, I think.
Like, I think this is inspired, and I think you asked, does this name mean anything to people?
Yes.
The little micro niche of people these names mean stuff to in 2022 are dedicated, passionate Clay Reuben fans.
You know, I do. And I like that they always, this is not the first time they've teamed up to do something in the public eye. I do like that they always come back together. You know what I mean?
That's sweet.
Makes me think, if Kelly Clarkson wasn't like a literal mega superstar, would she and Justin Guarini be like getting together once every like 3 years to do something weird, you know?
Yeah. So Reuben Studdard and Clay Aiken are touring right now, kind of the Northeastern Corridor in the spring.
Wait, if you don't know what we're talking about, this is the winner and the runner-up of American Idol. What year?
2003.
The first 5 years of American Idol, the winners and like the runner-ups, it was a different time in that they actually mattered. You know, these people were the center of culture for like Reuben and Clay, like who was going to win was such a thing.
It was.
Remember?
Paula Abdul was still on the show. This was the second season of American Idol. We already crowned Kelly Clarkson American Idol, and she became a megastar. So the expectations were high on the second season.
And we said, one of these men is going to be an A-lister, so we have to decide who.
And they were both very well-liked as well, you know? So that's why it was such a...
They were both very well-liked. Yes, that's true.
That's why it was such a big deal at the end. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Reuben won. Clay got second place. Neither of them became superstars, but they've both been consistently kind of performing ever since.
They're a nostalgic act in the finest sense. Yeah. For American Idol and like themselves. Yeah, it's true.
And Reuben's released so many albums.
He's prolific. Like, yeah.
He's prolific. He's released so many. He sings a lot of gospel music. And
Clay run for office?
He ran for the Democratic. No, he ran for a House seat in the Democratic primary in 2022. He did, but he didn't. He didn't win the primary. He was third place in the primary.
Clearly, because he's on tour with Reuben Studdard now. Come on. Yeah. You know.
So Reuben Studdard like has won a lot of awards like and been nominated for a lot of Grammys for his gospel music. And then Clay Aiken, I don't know that he's quite as prolific or as award winning, but he's still releasing music. Mm-hmm. I think Clay Aiken kind of the fame bug sort of bit him a little more than it bit Reuben. Like Reuben was very much like, I want to be a singer. I'm a singer. I'm going to use this as a springboard for my singing career.
And
Clay
Aiken
was like, I want to act.
Doing
I want
everything
to be an activist.
And kind of flopped at most of it. Right.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. And now they've realized that like together they are more powerful than.
They really are. And they must like be able to put up with each other, which is nice. That's kind of that's what implies to me that they can put up with each other.
That's the thing that I find sweetest.
They might even like each other. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think you can do this with someone you don't like. You know?
No. I'm just glad they're singing and not starting a podcast. We can't take that type of competition.
Who Weekly is brought to you by Squarespace. As usual, we love Squarespace.
We love Squarespace.
It's the only way we will ever have a website.
Is Squarespace. You're right. Because it's easy. Because I can update it very fast when things go crazy with tour announcing, which we might have to do relatively soon.
Might.
You said we just came and saw you. I said, well, this is a 365 podcast. We're planning ahead.
Everyone's doing live shows these days, so all the venues are getting booked up. So we have to book our tour, which is far away, pretty soon. But we already know the dates. We're ready to update the website on Squarespace.
And we also already know how to put them on the website, which is like half the battle because it's Squarespace.
Exactly.
And we've done this for a long time and it's very, very easy.
We love Squarespace because It's very easy to update things. We love Squarespace because we have a contact form, which is the way most people get in touch with us. Even though we have a very easy to remember email address, which is whatsritaupto@gmail.com, people would prefer to just use the contact form on Squarespace because Squarespace is easy. And on our website, it's easy to find our press clippings. It's easy to find embeds of the podcast. It's easy to find anything you need to know about our podcast. So go to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch your website, go to squarespace.com/who to save 10% on your first purchase of a website or domain. I love my Helix mattress. I love my Helix pillow. What else is there to say about Helix? I freaking love it. When I sleep on other beds,
what is there
I get
else to
mad.
Say is that I come back to my bed and I'm like, this is the bed. This is the bed. And it's honestly spoiled me for other beds. And I don't like traveling sometimes because I'm like, this is not my bed. Where's my bed?
I want my bed.
It's my special bed. It's my special mattress because it is a mattress that is made for my body.
Mm-hmm. I took the Helix quiz. It told me which Helix mattress to get, and that's the one I got, and that's the one that I love, and that's yes. the one that I will not stop mm-hmm. using because it's the best mattress I've ever slept on. Mm-hmm. The mattress is so good that when we got it, my cat Winston became obsessed with it, and now he's on it all the time, and I'm
no
like,
way.
You have to move because
no
I
way.
Need to sleep on the bed. It's my bed. It's not your bed.
Wow.
He's obsessed with it. It's
wow.
irritating, actually.
Wow.
He likes
okay.
the Helix
rude.
So much.
It's so rude.
Everybody is unique, and I mean everybody, two words, because everyone sleeps differently. Their bodies are different, and that's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. I'm a side sleeper / stomach sleeper. Some people are back sleepers. Some people are exclusively side sleepers. There's a Helix mattress for all of you. Not only is the Helix the best mattress I've ever slept on, the setup was fast and easy. Their mattresses are delivered in a box and straight to your door. You just open it up and it like kind of like blows back up after it comes out of the plastic and you put it on your bed and it's amazing. Plus, Helix mattresses all come with a 10 or 15 year warranty depending on the model. And if you don't want to take our word for it, Helix has been awarded the number one mattress picked by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading doctors of sleep medicine as a go-to solution for improving your sleep. Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/who. That's helixsleep.com/who. This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
Bobby, what is this?
Okay. This tweet made me laugh. I think I saw this when I was in bed, like either right when I woke up or right before I went to sleep. And it's the combination of the tweet, the source, and the photo. And it's a photo of Julie Chrisley looking, I don't know how else to describe her other than triumphant, looking absolutely triumphant, posing, hands up, saying, what do you think about me?
I mean, you know, this is not a recent photo.
No, it's not a recent photo. And the tweet is, prison life will be a breeze for Julie Chrisley if she has her way. And I'm like, isn't that the goal of anyone who's going to prison for it to be a breeze? Like, if she has her way, won't prison life be a breeze? Like, is that really that surprising of a sentiment?
You're saying, like, nobody goes to prison being like, it's not going to go my way. You know what I mean? No one is like hoping that it doesn't go their way.
Prison life will suck ass for Julie Chrisley if she has her way. Like, no, yeah. The alternative is just impossible.
Yes.
And then I read this thing and the story is,
this is from Radar.
Radar, yes.
Yeah.
So like the sleaziest, the trashiest, the dumpiest of the dumpiest.
Sure, but we don't check in with them as much. And sometimes they got some funny stuff. Their sources are like some real OGs, you know?
Yes. You have people who are like willing to make phone calls. You get fun quotes.
Well, but also like Radar and to some extent TMZ, they're the ones calling prison guards. You know, they're calling like the, you know, they're, yeah. they're deeply sourced in a way that makes you feel deeply uncomfortable, as I would say, you know?
They're calling prison guards. They're calling dirtbag lawyers. They're calling whoever they can get a phone number for.
Mm-hmm.
And so this headline is, Julie Chrisley hopes to serve time at low security prison offering yoga classes and baking sessions.
Yes.
And then it says, Julie will be required, this is based on the sources they've spoken to, Julie will be required to wake up every day at 6 a.m. to make her bed. She'll also be required to hold down a prison job, like scrubbing toilets, folding laundry, or working in the kitchen. If she's lucky, the Chrisley Knows Best star might even be able to work alongside Maxwell for a cush job in the library.
Wait,
so
as
they're
in
talking about
Ghislaine
Maxwell, because she's going to the same prison. Well, she wants to go to the same prison as Ghislaine Maxwell.
I'm sorry, the government needs to keep these women apart.
She won't be at the same prison as Todd either.
Yeah, I don't care about that. They've done enough damage together. We don't need these two women coming together to befriend each other. No, absolutely not.
Talk about a Large Hadron Collider. Like, we do not need these two molecules smashing into each other.
You just read that profile and Ryan Adams felt a shiver go up his spine. You know, like, it's, you know, it's feud season 35. This is not good.
Ryan Murphy,
not
you
good.
Mean? Ryan Adams.
What did I say? Ryan Adams?
Ryan
oh,
Adams.
My God. No, no, not him. Not him.
Ryan Murphy.
Oh, my God. No, not Ryan Adams. No.
Okay, so not Ryan Adams. Ryan Murphy.
RadarOnline.com can confirm that besides from being out of herself for work periods, Julie and her new friends, Ghislaine, will be able to play softball, flag football, and frisbee. Todd's wife will also be able to enjoy yoga classes.
Okay, let's move on to relationships. There's a lot of relationships this week. A lot of relationship news.
Okay.
We have the first relationship news, which is about Craig David. An exclusive from the Daily Mirror. Exclusive. Singer Craig David closed himself to love for 25 years after whirlwind romance, age 16. Can you please read the lead? Who's Craig David, first of all?
Monday, we're making love on Tuesday. Assuming that on Wednesday, and on Thursday, and on Friday. Okay. Americans know one of his songs, but people in the UK,
the Brits know way more.
A much longer, more prolific career, including
the Brits know way
on
more.
Love Island, obviously. Okay. But here's their lead. Craig David famously met a girl on Monday, was making love by Wednesday, and was totally in the zone with her by Sunday. But what you don't know is that it has since taken the 7-day singer an incredible 25 years to mend his broken heart after the girl walked away from him just 7 days later. In extremely rare personal chat, Craig, 41, reveals how he has never been able to find love because he's too scared of getting hurt again. That's not fun. Play the song. I don't want to hear it. Play the song. For a drink on Tuesday, we've been making love by Wednesday, and on Thursday and Friday and Saturday we chilled on Sunday. Do you know what the name of the podcast where this is from is called? No.
What the name of the podcast is? It's called How to Fail.
Well, I couldn't figure out whether they kept calling it exclusive, and I'm like, an exclusive to who? To the Mirror, or are they just like listening to a podcast? Because
they're listening to a podcast.
Exclusive is being thrown around willy nilly, and I just don't like it. When I see exclusive, like, that's what I'm. That's why I clicked on this, because I'm like, oh, Craig David gave like a funny exclusive to the Mirror, and it's like, no, I guess he didn't.
I think what this means is they got a clip before. So this is promo for the podcast. They sent them this exclusive clip
that.
Before the podcast went live.
Sure. Okay. So he told some lady on her podcast that he got his heart broken at 16. And since then, he only has been working in 7-day periods with women, like the song says.
Yeah. This episode was released on December 8th, which I think was a Monday, actually.
Uh-huh.
No, it wasn't.
Okay.
What was December 8th? We
to
actually
make this
need
work.
To know.
You're really trying to make this work.
On a Thursday, he told a podcast this story, but it wasn't until the following Saturday that they wrote about it in the Mirror, and yet they called it an exclusive. That's a Craig David song. That's a confusing Craig David song.
That's so fucked up. Yeah, I need a song to explain how that works, you know? Okay, he met her on Monday, took her for a drink on Tuesday, made love on Wednesday, and on Thursday and Friday and Saturday, and they chilled on Sunday. Oh, they fucked Wednesday, I always forget how this song works. They met on Monday, they had a drink on Tuesday, they fucked
Got
Wednesday,
it.
Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and then chilled on Sunday. Like, it's not that, it's like 12 days of Christmas, there's so much more going on, like, everything is different, each day is different. Craig David fucked Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. That's most of the days.
They fuck Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, yeah.
Yeah. They chilled on Sunday, like, because that's the Lord's Day, you know? They rested.
Yeah. That's nice. They got a bagel, you know?
Right.
Okay, so Craig David closed off to love.
No, he's open again.
Jesse Metcalf and Corinne Jamie Lee Clark have broken up after more than 2 years of dating. Are you okay, Lindsay?
No.
Are you brokenhearted?
No. I'm literally losing it. What? Didn't he get a divorce? Didn't he just get a divorce? God, it's like it all swarms together. Swarms? All melts together.
He was married to, what was her name? Cara Santana. They ended their relationship, their engagement in January 2020, right before
That's
the pandemic. But
we
they never got
this.
Married. Yeah, they never
yeah,
got
like,
married.
And it was vaguely shady. I think she posted something. It was not a great ending.
No.
And then he started dating this woman, Corinne Jamie Lee Clark, and now they're breaking up.
Yes, they're broken up.
Yeah.
And they've unfollowed each other on Instagram. And who is Corinne Jamie Lee Clark? I believe she is an actor.
Okay.
I was wrong. She is a model from Vancouver.
Okay. Okay. He's kind of like in his, he's getting his Christmas movie bag. Like he's lost to the world of like Hallmark or whatever, you know?
The Christmas movie industrial complex.
Like
yeah.
He's attending like Christmas convention, you know, and like meeting the fans and like, you know, getting ample amounts of Botox so that he can continue, you know, to star in these movies about Santa Claus, right?
It's so wild to me that it was 20 years ago that he was the sexy gardener on Desperate Housewives. 20 years
ago.
That's a real
gag for you, isn't it?
Yeah, maybe 18. Okay, it was 2004 that Desperate Housewives came out, but Jesus Christ.
Okay, so let's go from someone who's dating life I'm so not excited about or involved in or care about to somebody who's dating life I am so invested in for some reason. I'm just need her to find love or not.
I don't know.
I'm like, she is my Pete Davidson. Okay. You know, like everyone's like, who's Pete Davidson dating? I'm like, no. Who is Katie Holmes dating? I am obsessed. She and her boyfriend, Bobby Wooten III. Remember him? He's a musician.
He was in American Utopia.
He was in David, what's his face's band.
He's in Carly Rae Jepsen's band too.
He was for a little bit. Yeah. No. So they broke up after dating for 8 months. Which is like,
that's nothing. A lot. That's oh, not okay. an insignificant amount of time.
I'm just saying, like, you know, she dated Jamie Foxx secretly for like 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Can you believe that? Right under our noses. I mean, we knew, but we just didn't talk about it.
They seemed like they were going to be together for a long time.
I always say that with Katie, though, because I think, they're going to be together forever. Then they're not.
You know what the thing is, though? I think that she likes her winters. She loves showing off her boyfriends. Gallivanting around town, and when it gets too cold and icy and snowy, you know, she can't show it off. Maybe there's less appeal to her.
The cognitive dissonance that it takes to stan Katie Holmes as like a New York fashion icon, dating these kind of New York famous men, loving it, restaurateurs, musicians, whatever, and then also be aware of Tom Cruise jumping off a cliff or whatever every single day, making the biggest movies of all time still to this day. The fact that they were once together and have a child he never sees, the cognitive dissonance that it takes to hold those two thoughts in your head and live a life, it's what it means to be human, you know? Right? Seriously.
Yes. Who else broke up? And more sad news.
JoJo.
Siwa.
Oh, yeah, Siwa, not other JoJo.
And Avery Cyrus, no relation.
None of the JoJo fans seemed to really like this girly, so it wasn't surprising that they broke up after 3 months. I mean, that's, again, like no time. I don't even think we talked about them getting together. We might have. She was a TikTok girly. I think I was like, we can't talk about every time JoJo dates someone because she's young and hopefully dates lots of people.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So she dated Avery Cyrus for 3 months. And when someone on TikTok said, now I just want to know why, a random follower, Avery responded and said, we decided that we are better off as friends. We are both so young and still just trying to figure our stuff out.
Fair.
Totally fair.
Totally fair. Two TikToks, people together, too much.
It's a lot of energy.
This story I love because it's a little bit more complicated than just two people that we know broke up. You know,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
This one has like a little bit more of a long tail into somebody new that I didn't know about.
Okay.
Okay. So one of the things that that publications love to write about in the UK, mostly The Sun and The Mirror, they love to check in it with Noel Gallagher.
With the Gallaghers.
And the other one. The William. Other brother. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They love to be like, what are the Gallagher brothers up to? What are they saying? They're always still saying stuff. They love to be like, fuck you, mate. Or like whatever to whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And now that they have families.
Fuck
and like
you,
daughters and like kids, right? There's this new element to writing about them, which is that you can write about Noel Gallagher being like, fuck you, mate, to his brother or whatever he's doing. That's always what he's doing. Or you can write about his daughter and say Noel Gallagher's daughter, blah, 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 does blah, 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 which is fascinating to me because it's like the daughter's not interesting, but Noel Gallagher is still a name big enough for people that they're like, they care about the lineage of Noel Gallagher and his brother, Liam Gallagher.
Right.
Right?
Right. They do.
Oasis was that big of a band, or is that they're broken up? Was that big of a band?
Was. Like, very influential. Like, a major part of British culture, I think. A fixture of tabloids for, like, 25 years.
Yes, of course, because, like, all they did was fight.
Yeah.
So here we have an article. I love this. It's, first one is Crying Your Heart Out, which is lyrics. Love that. Noel Gallagher's daughter, Anae, splits from long-term love, Julius Roberts. And then another headline, which cracked me up, Noel Gallagher, quote, rallying around heartbroken daughter, Anae, as she splits from boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
So I would not break up with Noel Gallagher's daughter, but that's just me. You know, I wouldn't want that. That feels like a bad idea.
Yeah.
So who is Noel Gallagher's daughter? Kind of just a random girly. She's like an artist. This guy that she broke up with, I'm reading this article and I'm cracking up. It says, their relationship started just 2 days before Christmas in 2019, but this festive season won't be the same for Anae Gallagher and Julius Roberts. I've been told Noel Gallagher's daughter and the telly farmer ended their 3-year romance quietly a few weeks ago with Anae nursing a broken heart. So I'm like, excuse me, he's a telly farmer? Does that mean he farms televisions or is he a farmer on the telly?
I think it probably means the latter.
I mean, you never know. But you are correct. He is this guy named Julius Roberts. He became famous on Instagram when he like bought a farm or like inherited a farm, right?
Classic.
Then he got a show called A Taste of the Country, Dorset, which airs on the BBC
Channel 5.
Or something. Yeah, something like that.
It's one of the channels.
So he literally is this like Instagram famous now TV host farmer. And he was dating Noel Gallagher's daughter and he's no longer. Had never heard of him in my whole life.
It's very like Brooklyn moved to the country and started like
really
making
is.
His own gelato. It's
it
like,
really
look
is
at my
like
heirloom
discovered
tomatoes.
Discovered the cat skills at 23, you know?
Thanks for the house, mom and dad. You know, living out here is lovely. Here's me holding with his floppy hair, like holding a goat, literally.
He's very cute.
No, he's very cute. He's very cute.
He's out here making mayonnaise by hand. Being like, here's how you make mayonnaise by hand. I pick the garlic. I pick this. I pick that.
I've got a beautiful shoulder of Welsh lamb here. And I'm going to show you how to slow cook it to perfection until it is so tender that you can carve it with a spoon.
There's just something so like, just this specific type of guy on the farm being like, isn't it so great? It's like, yeah, I'm sure it is really great for you. I'm just like, uh-huh. Yeah. I'm sure it's really easy for you out in the country.
Wow, someone sounds a little resentful of the telly farmer.
The telly farmer, Julius Roberts.
Somebody is Team Gallagher in this one.
I think I am. This guy is turning me into a Noel.
I just feel like a bunch of soccer hooligans are about to ransack this guy's farm and burn it to the ground.
I just feel like Noel-pilled when I look at this Julius Roberts guy.
Noel-pilled?
Also, I've been told Noel Gallagher's daughter and the telly farmer ended their 3-year romance. That's either, part of me was like, okay, well, that's definitely from the source. That's either from Anae or Julius. But the other part of me is like, that could be from Noel. Noel probably has these people on speed dial, you know?
I mean, is Noel Gallagher like engaging, like calling the tabloids? I don't know if I see that, but I do feel like I wouldn't be surprised if somebody from his camp or what or something. I wouldn't be surprised if it's coming from that zone.
Yeah. Tim Robbins has a new girlfriend, and that girlfriend is a movie director, and her name is Reed Morano. And apparently they've been together for a while, but we've never talked about it. And we didn't know this was happening.
I don't think this is new. I just think people didn't care, which is like what you want.
Exactly.
This is the second time this has now happened with Tim Robbins. Think about it. Remember
right.
when
he was,
broke
like,
up with his wife or whatever, last wife, his last, or no, he got a divorce and no one even knew
wife.
He was
Graziella.
Married. Yeah.
Graziella Brancusi.
Yeah, she was like 30 years younger than him. He was married to her for like a significant amount of time. They got a divorce. And then when they got a divorce, we found out that he was married. Meaning no one cared. The people who did care, like, didn't even care to share it.
Mm-hmm.
And like, she wasn't really a thing. Wasn't even maybe worth reporting about or something until the divorce papers or see, that's what's so confusing. I think we had this exact conversation at the time. Like, okay, like, all right.
Is Tim Robbins a them?
But we, this is the other. Yeah, this we had this conversation then too. Yes, but also like, no.
No, I think no. And I think I'm veering no.
You're veering no.
I'm veering no. Just he's in a couple iconic movies that mean a lot to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. But as a personality, does he really exist outside of those movies? Not really. Mm-hmm. Only as the longtime partner of Susan Sarandon, you know?
Yeah, and is he genetically responsible for Eva Marie Martino? No.
No. So why do I give a shit? Why do I give a shit?
No.
You didn't give Eva any of your genes. Some other guy did. And let's be honest, Susan is responsible for 90% of those genes
anyway.
Let's be honest. Susan's genes will win a knockout fight with any man's sperm.
Let's be honest.
That egg is taking care of business.
Did you see that her show was canceled?
Whose? Oh, Monarch? Yeah, I saw that. Yeah,
got canceled.
I mean, I only watched the first episode and she dies at the end of the finale. So like, I wasn't going to watch anymore.
They big skied her. Remember when they killed in the first episode of this series that they were like promoting that he was on?
I forgot about that until someone reminded me of it recently. Yeah, they big skied her.
That was the first time they did that, but then they keep doing it because it happened to her. It happened to in the show. It happened to.
Oh, she dies in a pilot of a show?
Uh-huh.
Doesn't Chloe Grace Moretz die in the first 5 minutes of Peripheral?
I wish.
No, she's in it the whole time? No, she's
in it. You have to bleep these all out, by the way, because I feel like they're spoilers, so you can bleep them. Okay. Anyways, Tim Robbins is now being pictured loved up with mm-hmm. this director, Reed Morano, who is most known for her work on The Handmaid's Tale. Pretty sure, as well as some other stuff outside of that. I think she also like did some movies.
She was the cinematographer on some of Lemonade, you know, like she was a cinematographer on a lot of episodes of Looking, you know, mm-hmm. like it then mm-hmm. now, but she has a very robust career as a TV director as well.
Wow, I just noticed something. Do you know that Rita Ora is in the lead image on the Daily Mail? Their TV and showbiz headline photo has Posh Beckham, Adele, Kim, and Rita. She's like A-list Daily Mail now.
What?
That's crazy. They're like using her to like, they're like, the stars are here and one is Rita.
Wow.
That's crazy. Sorry, that's crazy.
The other movie that Reed directed that I've seen, because Reed has directed a lot of television, and then she's directed a high-profile feature, Lindsay. A high-profile mm-hmm. feature film.
Yeah, I think I did know this.
She also directed a movie starring Olivia Wilde, which is why they're friends. Olivia Wilde's in all of her comments. But she directed the Blake Lively flop, the iconic pre-pandemic Blake Lively flop, January 2020, The Rhythm Section. I watched that during the pandemic.
I remember this, and I remember everyone being like really rallying behind that movie and her, and then it was like no one actually like talked about the movie after it came out, kind of.
Well, here's the thing about the movie. Well directed.
Oh.
Well directed. Dumb, though. Yeah.
I never saw it.
It's a well-directed movie. It's a pretty movie. Good performances in the movie. Jude Law's in it. It's like, but the movie sucks.
So you would literally say, even without, like, you're not just saying that because we're talking about this woman now.
No.
You would say back at that time you saw that movie and said, this movie's like well-directed, but it's so bad.
It's well made. It's one of those movies that is all the more frustrating because it is well made.
Mm.
And it's like so deeply stupid and forgettable.
Wow.
Yeah. Reed Morano.
Fascinating.
That's a talent.
Well, she's dating Tim Robbins.
And the funny thing is that we were talking about how this is, people knew about this, but no one really cared. And we just found out about this for the first week. Like in this Daily Mail story, it'll say stuff like, the outing marks the first time the pair has been snapped in public, but Reed has been sharing loved-up snaps with the actor since May 2022. And it says on May 31st, Reed posted a snap of herself kissing Robbins, captioned, ready for summer vacation. And then you go to her Instagram, and there she is kissing Tim Robbins, and no one cared. And it's filled with celebrity comments.
I just think it's very, like, everyone knew. But it's like the Daily Mail now is like, okay, we're going to write about this. We have some photos of them. We got some photos of them leaving the theater. We'll write about it now.
Olivia Wilde posting a caption on a photo of Reed Morano and Tim Robbins kissing. My favorites. Those are your favorites? Your favorites are Tim Robbins and Reed Morano? What a life if those are your favorites.
Those are her favorites. You don't know what her favorites are.
Then we have not a breakup, not a coupling, not a red carpet debut, but Dead to Me.
It never happened.
Vinny Guadagnino, Luca Guadagnino's third cousin, Gabby Windy are dead to each other, or at least he's dead to her.
Yeah, well, because these two had a literal 15 minutes for fame fight to the finish where they flirted with each other over Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And the audience said, are they dating? And then it just got dragged on and on and on. And now she's like, all right, we're ending this. We're ending this game. He's dead. He's dead to me.
This all stems from their joint appearance on Dancing with the Stars.
This is so funny. She said, you guys need to ask him. He's so dead to me because he hasn't been doing any press. And I have. She's like, I'm putting in the fucking, I'm pounding the pavement out here, like talking to you idiots. And he's not even doing any of this press anymore for the Dancing with the Stars
2023 live tour. And I'm just sick of talking about it. So talk to fucking him. I'm like, she said, I'm like dealing with all these questions, but he's the one who started it. Yeah, he's the one who like flirted with her. And then she just flirted back, I guess.
She's a bachelorette. Right. She was on The Bachelor.
It is funny to really break the fourth wall and be like, I'm doing all the work answering your, like lying to you about our non-existent relationship that I think he needs to step it up.
Right. It's like the people who are doing this Dancing with the Stars Live 2023 tour are Gabby Windy, Daniel Durant, Charlie D'Amelio, Heidi D'Amelio, and Vinny Guadagnino. And she's I'm pulling all the weight here. The D'Amelios aren't doing shit. You know, Vinny's God knows where. I'm answering all the questions this sucks. Right. It's funny.
Yeah.
What was she wearing? Where was she seen? She posted what on Instagram? She's the Who Queen. Tens of people want to know all about the number one Who. Lindsay, Bobby, tell us now. What's Rita Ora up to?
Who is this woman?
I have to read this headline.
Okay, you read it.
Rita Ora flashes her washboard abs in a tiny white crop top and denim skirt as she joins Sienna Miller for Pal Josephine de la Bohm's star-studded baby shower in Knightsbridge.
Okay.
Oh sure. My God. What'd you do last weekend? Well, I flashed my washboard abs in a tiny white crop top and denim skirt as I joined Sienna Miller for her Pal Josephine de la Bohm's star-studded baby shower in Knightsbridge.
I gotta say, I don't love the idea of flashing your washboard abs at somebody else's baby shower. Like, give it a rest.
The conceit of the show, Lindsay, that we're hosting right now is that she doesn't give it a rest.
Rita Ora never gives it a rest. I know. If Rita Ora gave it a rest, like, I'd be out of a job. So Rita Ora should never give it a rest.
Never give it a rest. You have to work 20 hours a day.
I know. She really does. Showing up to her friend's baby shower with her washboard abs out on display. Just literally like, eat these up, bitches.
Look at the photos of Sienna Miller and her friend. Who is that woman that she's with? Is that Josephine de la Bohm? I'm not sure who the woman Sienna Miller is posing with, but look at the way Sienna Miller and this woman are posed. Here we go, look. And what they're wearing. What they're wearing. Two.
Yeah.
Fur or shearling coats. Two big coats. Covered legs.
Yeah, this is cold. How Rita. It's winter.
And this is how Rita Ora showed up to the exact same party.
Oh, I love her. Oh, my God. Coat's barely on. Jeans are down at the pussy line. I don't know what to call that. Jeans are down right before vagina starts. Ab crack out. A sweater, but doesn't cover the belly. Just covers right over the boobies. She's incredible.
That
stunning.
Sweater is less helpful than a vest. That flawless, sweater is incredible. Not doing
Meanwhile,
anything.
I say to Rita, hey, Rita, it's winter. Get some winter clothes. And then she posts this that inspired this headline. A brilliant disguise. A-list singer, which, wraps up in a balaclava teamed with a racy miniskirt and suspenders. So can you guess who it is? Babe, I knew it was Rita, but if you're going to say A-list singer, no one's going to guess Rita Ora. Like, I'm sorry, they're just not. You told Rita to cover up. You said it's winter, Rita. Get a winter outfit. And she put on orange platform boots with thigh highs with the thigh exposed, thigh high socks with the top of the thigh exposed, a black skirt,
a black mini skirt,
jacket, a really long scarf, balaclava, and sunglasses. And she said, bitch, I'm warm.
To be fair, I think a lot of this is wool. It's just small.
I love her.
It's like winter wear for the equator. It's really iconic.
It's like it's winter wear for somebody who doesn't really know the concept of winter. Hallmark movie stars are gasping at the display.
This is one of her, I would say, top five outfits of all time.
Of all time?
Look. I'd say of all time.
But like, obviously number one was that confusing shirt.
The confusing shirt is number one. And this is maybe anywhere between two and five.
But everyone really, I think the problem with this outfit for me is that she knows it's ridiculous. So it's like there's a little bit of a knowing wink to this, like a wink wink as to like, I'm kooky, like I'm dressed crazy, you know, versus going to this baby shower in freezing cold temps with like a crop, you know, with your stomach fully exposed crop top. I'm like freezing for the paparazzi. Make sure we get a picture of the ab crack is like classic Rita, like very, very earnestly, yeah, you know, dressed.
Speaking of kind of typical Rita things, she also got this headline: hot right now, Rita Ora gets gems on her teeth as she reveals her dazzling gnashers.
I can't. Love that.
Well, that's gnashers. The thing. Rita loves putting gems on her teeth. She's been doing this for a couple of years now.
And the Brits love calling teeth gnashers. That's fun. I think that's so fun.
Gnashers. Okay, we're done. Thank you to Katie and Eric of The Who's for providing our Rita theme song on Tuesdays. Thank you to Timmy, our research and editorial assistant, for researching and editorializing. Support us on patreon.com/weekly for bonus episodes, a Discord server, commentary track. Oh, we're going to do a commentary this next weekend for a holiday movie. You can also get the audio only within the Apple Podcast app. Just click subscribe at the top of the feed. What else? Call in at 619 Who Them to leave questions, comments, and concerns for our Friday show. Who's there? And we'll see you on Friday. Bye, everyone.
Bye. They wanna know.